Amnesty International is accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza and is calling on the U.S. to block weapons transfers. In response, Israel's foreign ministry called the nonprofit deplorable and fanatical and said its report was entirely false and based on lies. For the last 2 months, Israel has been waging a new operation in North Gaza. Nick Schifrin has the story of one Palestinian man whose family says he was caught in the crossfire.
In North Gaza, Mahmoud Al-Madoun fed the famished. They called him Chef Mahmoud for running a soup kitchen for the most vulnerable. His team filmed these scenes for us back in March, providing sustenance to stop starvation. He told us he had to help.
When you think you're going to die, you want to start serving and helping others. It's like a new lease on life.
More recently, he opened a school with a sign on the roof in Hebrew and English, "Please don't bomb." And that's him in red, wheeling in water and providing much-needed produce to the besieged Kamal Adwan Hospital.
We hope for more vegetables for the sick and the injured and the children and medical staff.
That was his last public statement. 4 days later, on the morning of November the 30th, Al-Madoun's family says he was killed by an Israeli drone. His 15-year-old son, Omar, seriously injured beside him. A few weeks before, his family says the school he'd opened was also attacked. For 2 months, the Israeli military has waged a new operation in northern Gaza, targeting what it describes as members of Hamas, some of whom participated in the October 7th attacks. Israel has uncovered weapons stockpiles, including bombs, as seen in this captured Hamas video, and what Israel calls a Hamas rocket launch site.
We will reach any location where the enemy places launch facilities or anything that fires towards the citizens of the State of Israel.
Israel also says at Kamal Adwan Hospital, it's facilitated the evacuation of patients and the delivery of fuel, medical supplies, and food and water. It accuses Hamas of stealing aid. But U.S. officials say as Israel has tried to evacuate the entire area, it's not allowed in nearly enough aid. So Al-Madoun was trying to provide what he could. He leaves behind his wife, Ala, and seven children, the youngest, Aline, barely 2 weeks old.
At Kamal Adwan Hospital, day after day he brought food, gave money to those in need, the young, the old. This is a great honor that Mahmoud was martyred as he fed the people. I hold my head high for him.
When I spoke with Mahmoud Al-Madoun earlier this year, I also spoke to his brother, Hani Al-Madoun, who joins me now. He is also the director of philanthropy at UNRWA's Independent American Arm. Hani Al-Madoun, thank you very much. Thanks for being here. Let's talk about your brother. Tell me about him. Tell me about the work he was trying to do.
My brother, Mahmoud, is a great guy. He's my baby brother. He started a soup kitchen when we couldn't figure out how to feed our family, our neighbors. He started cooking like for a dinner or lunch for people that we knew all our lives. And he cooked first day 120 families ate, and then he thought this is it. But then kids showed up to the house asking for food, and he said, hey, let me figure this one out. So he's a business guy. He would go and, like, if he finds potatoes, he would buy whatever the dealer had. And at the time, there was no pasta or rice or any starchy things, so potatoes was a big deal. He bought it and cooked for the family, for the neighborhood. Started serving up to 600 families every day. And it's just beautiful because I work for UNRWA USA, and we couldn't, because Israel banned UNRWA from working in North Gaza early on. We pivoted to do small shop, you know, soup kitchen, like the Gaza soup kitchen. And unfortunately, things did not turn the way that should turn.
We heard from him a little bit in the story we just played about why, what motivated him. What do you think motivated him to do what he did?
He just saw a problem and he wanted to solve, because, you know, we knew we have the means. I live in the U.S. and people were sending money in my private bank account and said, hey, go figure out how to get food to people. And it was hard. There is no banks. There is no phones that we were working at the time. But then he figured out a way to do it, you know, leaning on the local farmers, leaning on the nature. You know, when it rained, he had a lot of leafy greens that he could find and just chop and cook up. Literally, he would go at 7 a.m., my mom would wash the veggies and cook, but then eventually he hired a lot of people that, you know, because we wanted to scale. And we expanded beyond Beit Lahia where we started. And unfortunately, things, you know, instead of celebrating my brother's achievement and enjoying a possible ceasefire, now we have to mourn his life.
Tell me about how he died.
On Saturday around 9 a.m. local time, he left the third or fourth shelter he's based at. He walked about 30 yards or less outside the house, and a drone was waiting in the neighborhood and just shot at his feet. And the explosion was led to his death. It's basically, you know, he died on the spot. Our friends who saw him tried to rescue him. They thought they could save his life, tried to take him to Kamal Adwan Hospital where he was headed.
The very place that he was trying to help.
He wanted to make sure they got the produce because the day or 2 days before he ordered a large shipment of produce that's largely restricted in North Gaza. And they couldn't because there was sniper fire. And you don't really believe it because this is turned into a legend. This guy is always there with videos and solving problems, and people really lean on him to provide those meals. And sadly, we buried him, and he leaves behind the legacy that's respected across the globe. People who mourn him, who live in the U.S., and people who live in Palestine, but also seven kids.
I reached out to the Israel Defense Forces, and they said they were formulating a response on your brother's death, but have not, as this moment, provided me any response. And as I mentioned in my story, what the context is there's been an operation in northern Gaza that the Israelis have launched for the last couple of months, Jebelia, Beit Hanun, around the Kamal Adwan Hospital where your brother was helping. The fighting's been fierce. Israel says that it is targeting Hamas fighters, targeting Hamas ammunition, infrastructure. But as I also pointed out, U.S. officials say that Israel has not allowed enough aid into northern Gaza. How short of basic necessities, as far as you can tell, are the people living in North Gaza?
It is real. We feel it because the famine, it brings people to our soup kitchens. More families have to be fed, and we work together to provide those meals. Now, eventually, what's in Gaza is there is really not much food left. There is probably canned meat. There is some lentils. That's what's feeding the north right now. Some flour. However, in the south, they're running into crisis of flour, where one bag of flour, that's about a 50-pound bag of flour, will bring about $1,000. That's a lot. And you could buy the same bag here for $15.
And the problem with the black market, Israeli and U.S. officials admit, is that criminality has skyrocketed, especially where you just mentioned southern Gaza, central Gaza. There's not a lot of security at all, and that has led some other organizations to stop even delivering aid at all. In terms of your family, will you guys try and continue your brother's legacy?
My brother always finished his videos with saying two things. I send my love to all my friends in the United States, and he would say in Arabic, Mustamirin, we will continue. And we are trying to do this. We expanded our operation in different parts of North Gaza. That means we have now three active full soup kitchens in North Gaza and two in the south. I look forward to the day we're not expanding because the need is gone. And you've mentioned the criminality. I do want people, you know, like think it's complex. These are organized criminals that somehow the Israeli army is turning a blind eye to. This is not somebody who's, you know, it's not a rocket science. These people carry guns within 10 meters away or 20 meters away from the Israeli army. If they wanted to stop these criminals, they can. But they choose to look the other way, creating that massive need we see in both North and South Gaza. I pray we're close to a ceasefire, but it's sad because I'm not going to celebrate the ceasefire with my brother Mahmoud, who was my partner during these difficult times.
Hani Al-Madoun, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.